No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we got one of my favorite up and coming rappers out of LA is Rembo.
It's Rembo. But that's besides the point, man.
How you feeling?
I'm all right, man. Rough morning, but it's getting a lot better.
Rough morning, how so?
Woke up late at about noon. I'm just kidding. No, I just woke up late, had to do everything rushing.
For sure. Yeah. Introduce us to your friend here real quick.
This is my boy BA, man. You're gonna be a force to be reckoned with for sure.
You rap too?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what's up. You guys both from San Pedro?
I'm from San Pedro, from Harbor City.
Right. You too?
Harbor City, California.
Okay. Cause I lived in Long Beach for a long ass time. So to me, San Pedro is always like a place where we would go to ride bikes and stuff. There's like a bunch of famous bike riding schools and spots out there. But I don't know. I never really knew of a rapper from out there. You think you're the first one?
No.
No? Who else we got?
My boy D-Rock.
Okay.
My boy J-Foe. There's some more people rapping. It's just I guess I'm the first one to really get the light. You feel what I'm saying? The attention.
Right.
My boy Trig, Free Triggs. But, yeah.
So you're basically the person who's gotten the biggest name so far coming up out of there?
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy considering L.A. rap has been big for 50 years.
Yeah. They overlook my city.
They do, huh?
They sure do.
What's it like out there? Because for us, it's like we're kind of used to driving through, and it seems like a pretty nice area, but you can tell that there's definitely some cutty neighborhoods and shit.
It's smooth out there. If you're a civilian, it's okay, but it's like a secluded city. It's like San Pedro is like boxed in. Like, it's like everybody know everybody, predominantly Mexican. It's cool.
Okay. Yeah. What was your upbringing like? Both of your parents were around?
My dad has been locked up for the majority of my life.
Right. You said he had a life sentence.
Yeah.
Somebody snitched on him.
They lived at the life sentence, thanks to God.
Oh, really?
Just a couple years ago, yeah. So.
What was that about?
I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But your whole life he's been away?
Since I was like 5.
Okay. Wow. So what was your relationship with your mom like? She was holding it down?
My mom did her best, did her thing. Like, single mom, she made sure she actually moved us out of San Pedro.
Okay.
When my dad got arrested, she made sure she took us out of the environment to where there would be no other outcome but a bad outcome for us. You feel what I'm saying? So she moved us out of the area, but as I got older, you know, you just want to. You feel what I'm saying? You just want to do things. So I chose to. My mom did her best, but I chose. You feel what I'm saying? She took me out of a bad environment, and I chose to go back.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you were getting trouble from an early age?
I was getting in, like, going to school and stuff. I was getting kicked out of schools and stuff like that. And it was just me and my mom, my brother, my grandma.
So the schools out there, like, were there gangs like around you as you're growing up and shit, or is it kind of
so
different?
My mom moved us out of San Pedro.
Right. Okay.
So I didn't go to school in San Pedro. I went to school all over. I moved from San Pedro to Compton to Long Beach to Lakewood to Bellflower.
Oh wow.
I've been all around. So that's what gave me the opportunity to be able to know so many people. Whereas my city is locked in. So that's why probably the other rappers from my city didn't get the light. Because
right.
It's so secluded.
Yeah, because I mean, for people who don't know, it's like you very much have to go over this bridge to get there. And once you get there, you might feel like this is just another beachside city, but it is kind of closed off. Like, I'm assuming that probably the vast majority of LA rappers have never even been there. Like, you kind of have to have a reason if you wanted to go over there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have been there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, usually people tell me they've been to San Pedro, but they don't know too much about it.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's interesting. Going to school in Lakewood and all that kind of shit. Like, as a young kid who's going around to a whole bunch of different schools, is there, you know, LA is so much about where you're from and everything that I could just imagine, like, a young kid popping up at a different high school that it might be some weird energy. Was it ever messy just going to all these different schools?
No. Nah.
It was pretty cool?
It was pretty cool. I didn't go, like, the different school. When I was going to a lot of different schools, I was younger, so I don't even remember all the different, like, preschools, kindergartens, and first grade, second grade, all that stuff. I don't remember, but The schools that I remember, I never had no problems. And the problems that I had in school was the problems I brought upon myself with my misbehavior. But
really?
Other than that, I didn't have no problems with people.
Right. Were you rapping the whole time, or when you start rapping?
I just started rapping like 2-3 years ago. Okay. When I was probably I brought some studio equipment to my house. So when he did that, it was just like a new thing. It was like, I don't know, it seemed like something fun to do. So we just started recording.
Right.
And it's been a ride from there. We just kept going. He still rap too.
What kind of music were you listening to growing up? Was there local shit, or were you just more of the usual
growing up,
shit?
Younger, I was listening to a lot of Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Chance the Rapper. As I got older, that was when I was younger, because my big brother had a big influence on what I was listening to.
Oh, really?
Because I grew up close with him throughout my whole life, so he was listening to all of the conscious rap and stuff like that, and I liked it. But then I started listening to, he also put me to Dom Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Dom, legend.
For real, legend, for real.
I gotta get him back on here.
I listen to everybody, though. I listen to all types of music.
But was there a moment where you sort of started to realize, like, oh, there's a lot of really fire gangster rap coming out of L.A., and you sort of pivoted to being more interested in that shit?
Nah, I started rapping just because my boy had brought that studio equipment to my house.
Okay.
We had made some, like, it was like everybody was off Lil Yachty and stuff like that back then. My friends was, like, off of Lil Yachty, so we was making, like, them type of beats. Like.
Yeah? You were doing the auto-tune and trying to sing and shit?
Nah, they was. But I was just rapping with the auto-tune, like.
Right. Definitely. But you said that, like, Draco became your favorite rapper at a certain point.
When I was around, like, so that's probably, like, when I was around, like, 15, 16. From 15, that's when Draco was, like.
Right.
I became a Draco fan off of I Am Mr. Mosley 2.
Uh-huh.
Then that made me go back to listen to all his music and stuff like that. I've been following him ever since.
I was almost surprised. Like, as soon as I started listening to you, I was like, oh, he's definitely a Draco fan. I could tell from just little things and shit. And then I was thinking about, I'm like, why does that surprise me? And I was like, that surprises me because I feel like almost anyone who's like your age rapping out of L.A., you got to realize the impact that Draco had, because he's like one of the most important rappers of L.A. like the last 10 years. But not a lot of people really want to admit it, because L.A. is so crabs in a barrel, pardon my French. But, you know, there's just so many people that like are clicked up in certain ways, and they don't really want to give credit to somebody who they see as like an up and coming rapper, much like him. It's good to see like a guy like you who's like younger, and it's easy for you to just acknowledge like, yeah, he's a huge influence. Yeah,
Draco hard as fuck. He been hard as fuck too.
Right.
Consistently. So,
Definitely. When did you start, like in high school and stuff, when would you say you kind of started to get exposed to the street shit or start gravitating towards that?
I had a late start. So like I said, my mom took us out of that environment.
Uh-huh.
So, but once I was able to do my own thing, move around, go where I wanted to go and stuff like that, then I just dove right in. I looked up to my big brother that I didn't grow up with. He was in prison for about 7 years. So when I got out, I was 15 when he got out. So ever since I got out of jail, I was just looking up to him. And I just wanted to be like my big brother.
Uh-huh. And he had just done 7 years in prison, so he's telling you about all kinds of shit you didn't really know about?
Opening my mind up to the world, opening my mind up to things that I would have never thought about. So it was just at one time, though. So imagine a 15-year-old kid.
Right, but in a good way or a bad way, because him coming out of prison, he got to know about all the bad shit.
One thing about my family is they're very uncut, so it's not it's not like they're telling me nothing bad, but they're just being extremely real.
Definitely. Okay, so you started out making music and everything like that. When did it actually become more of a serious thing? When did you start to get some traction?
My first song.
Which one was that?
My first song didn't go crazy or nothing, but it got traction. Like, it did better than a lot of other people. So I was just like, I just kept going at it. I dropped my first song called Fortnite. And then after that, I dropped something called Smokey. I just kept going with singles after singles after singles. Like, I was finding myself.
Right.
Like, I knew I was going. I knew I had it because my first song did numbers. So.
But it's interesting because it sounds like you were you kind of came up organically, just off YouTube? Like, you weren't doing shows, I'm assuming, or you weren't really, like, having shit go viral on Instagram necessarily? Nope. It was just pure YouTube?
Just pure music.
Them feeding that shit to people.
Beats off YouTube.
Mm.
And rapping over them and dropping single after single. Single after single. I was not trying to oversaturate myself and drop bullshit to where somebody would hear it and be like, I don't like him. You feel what I'm saying? I wanted each song to be one of them. Like,
right. You know? Definitely. Do you feel like what's your creative process like? Because I feel like your stuff, it stands out to me as like very well put together and well written. And a lot of rappers just punch in and whatnot these days. Like, are you preparing your verses in advance, or what's the thought process there?
More recently, I've been punching in just because I ain't been having that much time.
Mm.
And things have been a lot different. But I started off writing, but now me and my boy, we just be in the studio here at every session, and we just be, we just be talking shit to each other and whatever work, whatever something. Gordon Ramsay was like, we just talking shit to each other.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I see that with rappers where they go back and forth with, like, one of their homies a lot in the studio, kind of, like, when they're coming up with bars. Like, mm-hmm. It's almost like one guy will, like, say one, and then the other homie will say something that kind of rhymes with it. Because, you know, sometimes it's kind of overwhelming, right? Just, like, looking at that notes app on your phone. And
can't do that. If you overthink it, it's going to, like, can't do that. You just got to let it happen. But all throughout our day, we just be laughing and joking about shit. So when we get in the studio, the beat come on, we just start feeling the beat and just saying all the shit we was laughing and joking about.
You record in the crib or you go to the actual studio?
I go to an actual studio.
Okay. You like that more than recording in the more
I'm gonna get a home studio. Mm. But right now I'm recording in
the
actual studio, yeah.
Talk to me about how you know him and how the like, when did you realize that he was really gonna be going up as a rapper?
When I first met him was when I came home from jail, and I did like 2 years in the Fed. So I met him at the baseball game. You know, we have a little baseball game in the neighborhood. Everybody come out and play baseball.
Okay.
So that's when I first met him. And then
what'd you do 2 years in the Feds for? I gotta know.
I don't want to talk about that.
You guys are very low key. I like it. Well, actually, as an interviewer, I don't really like it, but if somebody wants to see, as somebody who wants to see you stay out of jail, I respect it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I met him at the baseball game, and then we had started linking because I add him on Instagram.
Uh huh.
And we had started linking, going to parties and shit, doing our little thing, and then we just started linking outside of that, like going to get food and shit, like, you know what I'm saying, just doing us regular what niggas do.
Uh huh.
You know what I'm saying? Then like, he had started taking rap more serious and like staying away like from the neighborhood and shit. So I hit him up like, what's up? Like, link. He was like, oh, I'm out here. Like, link, drop the location, I'll pull up. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So we was tight ever since then.
That's then, what's up.
Shit, after that, I'm going to studio sessions with him every time. Like, he like, bro, what you doing? I'm like, I ain't doing nothing. I'm just chilling right in the neighborhood. Pull up, I'm over there. Just do our thing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Ever since then, we've been tight, and it's been every day.
For sure.
And then, like, this is my boy.
Yeah.
What's your neighborhood like? He's making it sound kind of heavy.
It could get heavy. You know what I'm saying?
The neighborhood is the neighborhood.
Right. But I've been to San Pedro mad times, and I'm also starting to say Pedro now instead of Pedro, which is how I started.
Pedro, I forgot.
But I never like really seen like how it goes down. Where
you at. Yeah. If you're on Pacific, you're gonna see what we see. Yeah. If you're on Western, you're gonna see near Palos Verdes and nice things and stuff like that. It just depends on where you at, but it's Pedro. I love it. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it is. There's a beautiful kinked rail that I can show you guys that all the skaters and BMX riders go to that you'd probably be oh
that's
yeah.
A lot of little hills.
I've seen like that before.
One of my big brothers.
Oh, what's up, G? How you doing? Okay. So, yeah, when did... Okay, so the music starts kind of popping off just organically through YouTube and stuff. One thing that I noticed that was kind of unique to me is that I seen a very, very young Blueface, and he was mentioned in the baseball game. You're actually in, like, the baseball fucking dugout or some shit. You're on the bench,
yeah.
And Blueface is just in the video.
Yeah.
Did you know him? Like, it kind of looked like it was Blueface before he was even really famous as a rapper.
He was going up. That was when he was just...
When he first started.
He was just
okay.
going up. Like, he was already going up, but, like, this was, like, he was already going up, though. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't famous. He was famous. Like, he was just, this is when his numbers was climbing, like, consistently.
Early days.
But, yeah, it's because my neighborhood is good with his neighborhood, and we had a baseball game.
Okay.
Against his neighborhood in the Venice Shorelines.
And you were just like, we got a baseball game against Blueface. I'm going to pop up, shoot this video.
I was supposed to shoot the video. We didn't even know Blueface was coming.
Right.
Then when I seen Blueface, I was like low key kind of starstruck. I'm like, damn, what the fuck?
Hmm.
Then all the bitches start going crazy. Then everybody start taking pictures with him, and then we just shot the video. It was cool though.
Did you know anybody from the Stink Team at that time? Like around then, you didn't even know anybody like that, right?
I felt like I've always known the Stink Team ever since I was 15 though.
Right.
I'm a heavy Draco fan, so it was like natural.
You were heavy enough fan, though, that you were paying attention to Ralphie and all these people that were part of the Stink Team.
Yep, Ralphie, Catchy, Good Finesse.
R.I.P. Catchy.
R.I.P. Catchy.
That's some crazy ass shit,
huh? Crazy as hell.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, but early on, like, who was the first people that really kind of noticed your talent and acknowledged that you were doing something dope music-wise? Because even in that old-ass video, to me, it's super obvious when I hear you rapping. I'm like, this guy's fucking good.
Right. I used to tag everybody in all my music and stuff like that. I think I tagged AD before. AD has commented. Ralphie had commented years ago. I used to just tag everybody. I was trying to come up. I knew I had it, so.
Right. Definitely. So how did Draco actually end up tapping in with you?
I made a freestyle video, posted it, and I tagged him. I sent it to him. And like 5 minutes later, he commented on it and DM'd me. And it's been a dream come true from there.
Really? So he came through and did the video with you, and did you guys start discussing the idea of signing right away, or?
I'm not signed to Draco. I'm signed to Warner.
Oh, okay.
But he fucked with me. Like, he told me, like, he asked me if I wanted to be a part of the Stink Team and stuff. Like, he said it's like a family. Like, he told me it was like a family thing and stuff like that. He a real genuine person.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that, because every time I think of the Stink Team, I just think of all these dudes that I've seen him with since, like, super early in his career. So the idea anybody knew being added or whatever, that was kind of like a new idea. So that kind of says a lot, because, like, I feel like Draco's, like, one of the number one people that just don't fuck with anybody, and especially
it would seem like
new
that,
people.
But when I started fucking with Draco, he any one of my homies or something like that. It felt real natural. Like I said, we all came up listening to Draco.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he is, once you get to know him, he's a really cool guy. He's just probably like the ultimate dude who is weary of everybody. Like, you know, he don't trust easily. Right. You know?
I think Draco is misunderstood.
Mm.
Draco he's much better of a person than what people portray him as, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to his lyrics, that's one thing about Draco, is that his lyrics just, if I was like an L.A. rapper and I wasn't cool with him, I would listen to his lyrics and be like, I hate this dude. I want to beat this guy up.
He's
the most disrespectful rapper maybe ever.
Exactly.
Every verse is just sunning whoever. You don't know who he's talking about. But when you hear about people not liking Draco, it's like, well, yeah, I listened to his last song. I'm not that surprised that people don't like him, because it sounds like he's just violating everybody. But hey, that's what rap's about, right?
You doing him.
Definitely. Okay, so how has that kind of changed how you're looking at music? Or how did you end up signing a Warner before even that cosign?
It went crazy. Rules Chris. I did the song with Rules Chris. Then No Competition.
Mm.
Then Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
These are songs that's doing millions of views back to back.
Right.
And constantly going up.
So did you have a bunch of different labels hollering at you, or how did this go?
Yeah, ever since after No Competition and really Gordon, it's just like all three of those as a collective, Roof Chris, No Competition, and Gordon Ramsay, after them was set and growing, everybody started tapping in.
Mm. How come you decided to go with Warner, and do you feel like you got a suitably large bag for that?
I was more comfortable with them. I was the most comfortable with them. They made me feel the most comfortable.
Uh-huh. And how do you feel about the payment that you received? Did that change your life or?
I'm great.
Feel good?
I'm great.
A lot better than you did before?
A whole lot better. I'm great.
That's dope. That's good to hear.
Yes, sir.
It seems like you have had like a real quality over quantity approach. A lot of rappers in general, they just kind of put out a million
oversaturate
things.
Themselves. Yeah.
With you, it's like each video, each song stands out a lot. Like when I went to your, because I had just watched all the videos, and then this morning when I was driving to work, I'm like, I went to the iTunes, and then I realized like all the songs pretty much have videos already on mm-hmm. YouTube, like which I think is important because otherwise it's really hard for a song to stand out.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm, definitely. You were a big Greedo fan too, because I noticed you had the Never
Greedo
Bend, Never Fold. Definitely. What do you like about him? Like what stood out to you in terms of what made Greedo seem so great?
All right, so I talk about oversaturating. Greedo made like how many songs, and he's still, you feel what I'm saying, Greedo. Like he does his thing, he just do it. You could tell he just being him. I like people to beat him. Like
definitely,
all his music sound very real and true to himself.
Yeah, if I like Greedo, I've personally like pulled up to the studio for a couple hours and just seen him like casually make four songs, pick somebody out off the couch. I was with somebody who he didn't even know who was a rapper, and he just was like, hey, you want to get on this song? Boom, got a verse on the song. He's on Greedo mixtape. It kind of blew my mind, because normally like I don't know anybody else who just does a song randomly with somebody that they just see in the studio right. like that. But he really had this like childlike energy to making music, you know.
I never met him before, but they tell me the stories all the time. Every time I go to a studio, they tell me the story.
Yeah,
matter of fact, the studio we go to, it's like, oh no, is that Greedo? Did they draw Greedo?
No, that was Wale.
Oh shit,
Wale.
I be thinking it's Greedo though.
Honestly,
it's a drawing.
Like, if you remove the hair and the tattoos and everything,
you gotta see. If you seen the drawing on my mama, you gonna think it was Greedo.
Right. Yeah.
Shout out Wale.
Shout out Wale. That's facts. Okay, so what's up with the one video that you have, which I noticed was like a complete stylistic departure, where you're sort of on the beach and you've got the mask on and you got like a monk costume or some shit, and it's much more, you're talking about your life and your future and everything. What's up with that song, and how would you describe what made you want to go in that different direction?
With the video or the song itself?
I guess the song is a little different as well, but yeah, the video in particular, I was like, damn, this is, I've never seen any like LA street rapper like take a left turn like this.
Right. Yeah. I just want to show that I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And I'm not held to, I'm not in competition with nobody. I'm going to say it was the thing to do. You feel what I'm saying? So I just do whatever I want. Around that time, I was constantly in the studio. So all that time in the studio, I was just making so many different types of sounds, and that beat was just amazing. Shout out Ladiano. Ladiano had sent me the beat. I told him to make me a Dreams and Nightmares kind of beat and put his little flip on it.
Right.
Sent it and didn't have him change nothing on it. It was amazing to me.
That's dope. Yeah, because I mean, there's a lot of rappers who you kind of consistently see them, maybe they get a lot of views, but they always kind of have to rap about the same shit over the same type of beats. You ever feel like you're almost in a box, in the sense that people want to hear you say hard ass street shit over the same types of beats, so you really wanted to just try something completely different?
That wasn't why I did it, but that's true though. People definitely like try to shove that street shit down your throat. Like they really like, people have told me like, make some shit like this, like make, like people that never been in the streets but telling me to make some street shit. You feel what I'm saying? But nah, it just happened organically, just like everything else. Kind of like a Gordon Ramsay more feel, like Gordon Ramsay freestyle type of feel.
For sure. Have you always had this taste for high-end restaurants that seems like you like to name freestyles after?
I've always liked the cooking channel and things like that. I've always been interested in Gordon Ramsay. I watched all his shows. Kitchen Nightmares and Hell's Kitchen and all that type of stuff. Ruth's Chris was like an accident. I just named it Ruth's Chris because I said Ruth's Chris in the song.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
was that something where like you were already paying attention to all these like restaurants and the shit, or all these food cooking shows, and then all of a sudden you get money and like that's one thing you actually started doing? Like, you remember the first time you went to Ruth's Chris?
I have not been in Ruth's Chris yet.
Really?
No.
Damn. Honestly, it's dope, but also, when I really think about it, is it like, you know, because you go to Ruth's Chris, you're going to spend like $500 or some shit. It's
Ruth's
like,
Chris not that good, though.
Yeah, is it's it really five Del times Frisco's. Better than like other restaurants?
It's
I don't
really
know.
Del Frisco's. I ain't going to lie.
What's
Del
that?
Frisco's
Del
gonna
Frisco's?
Win. I wouldn't have said Del Frisco's after the homies dropping new op. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Ruth's Chris went better, but Del Frisco's really that spot, though.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, where is that at?
Irvine.
Okay. And you're a lobster guy, a steak guy? What do you usually go with?
Surf, turf, whatever they got. Surf, turf, whatever.
Yes, sir.
We want it all.
That's good living, bro. That's a good influence, too, though, because that's one thing I always seen about Draco and Shoreline and all them is that they always been quick to just flex that they were eating some expensive-ass dinner. So I'm glad to see that that's becoming more of the norm in L.A. and shit.
Gotta eat good. Gotta treat yourself.
Yo, before Greedo went in, me and my girl went to a Ruth's Chris to meet up with him and TK and a bunch of Shoreline and everything to have dinner. And he was definitely like late as fuck, like an hour and a half late or some shit. I remember Rob Vicious and Kato passed out at the table, just and yeah, it was crazy though, because he went into prison like 2-4 days later after that, and it was just like, you know, it was a wild ass vibe. And I remember the waiter kept coming over and telling people to take their hats off, and they would take it off for like 2 seconds and then just put it back on, and eventually they gave up.
That don't sound like a good time.
Asking people to take their hats off. Yeah, but I guess at Ruth's Chris, really in nice restaurants in general, you're not supposed to really wear a hat. But I mean,
yeah, beanies, all type of stuff.
For real?
Yeah. Del Frisco's. Shout out Del Frisco's.
Well, maybe that's a better spot. You ever been to Grindr in downtown San Pedro?
You
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Grinders?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've never been to Grindr.
I don't think I've ever been there either. We used to always ride this rail in front, mm-hmm. and they would kick us out, and we'd be making jokes because Grindr is the gay sex dating mm-hmm. app. We'd be making jokes about that to the staff, and they didn't seem like they understood the joke.
I wouldn't have understood the joke neither.
That's understandable. I got too many references stored up, you know?
Yeah.
Pause. Okay, so the Gordon Ramsay freestyle, that... Something about that flow, like there's just you rap in such a different way where it's like you're not really rapping about yourself, you're rapping about everything, just sort of describing like your life through like all these different references. Like was something different going through your head when you did that freestyle? Because to me, that is one of my favorite verses, flows, songs I heard in a long fucking time.
I appreciate that. It wasn't no different specific like mind state I was in or anything. It was the beat. If I get a Latiano, shout out Latiano, he be sending me them things. Like everybody send me them things like Latiano, they're gonna get one a banger. So yeah.
The beat just sort of like told you what to do with it?
The beat, like you could if you just play the beat instrumental, like you just gonna it's a good feel. I just did my thing on it.
I mean, like, all right, I'm just gonna quote this part. Shawn Michaels at parties, I'm high kicking. Monkey nuts on big choppers and side bitches. A Gordon Ramsay entree with a side dish. 2007 in class with a sidekick.
Nobody's fucking with me.
That to me just, I'm like, yo, this is a real rapper. Like that's four bars in a row that I'm probably never going to forget. Like that to me was just hard as fuck.
Voila.
That shit was stupid. I don't know. You really had a sidekick?
Yeah, I had a sidekick. My brother really had the sidekicks, though. He really, like, he made me want a sidekick.
Obviously,
he had the sidekick.
You seemed a little too young for the sidekick. I'm thinking, like, bro, I had a sidekick in 2006 or some shit.
My big brother, he had all of them. He had each sidekick. He had the customizable cases with his own pictures on the back and all type of stuff. Shout out Sidekick, probably one of the greatest phones to ever be made.
For real, and it's so crazy that we've all just accepted that our phones are way more difficult to type on now than the Sidekicks
was. You could really like.
I would be driving, not even looking at the fucking thing, and I'd look down and I just wrote five sentences perfectly, no errors. That has never happened to me on an iPhone. Yeah. You start typing on an iPhone, it says all kinds of stupid shit.
Autocorrect though.
Autocorrect is cool, but then also, you know, sometimes you got autocorrect on.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I feel like a lot of rappers turn autocorrect off.
How come?
Because the app, they just want the app to just, you know, how they type is how they type.
You
spell something
like,
wrong, that's the style, right?
I don't spell wrong, though. Like, I don't be making my own words up and shit. So.
I respect that. It's more proper. Yeah, but when you think about it, like, bro, in the early days of rap, when I used to go buy CDs at the store and I'd be looking at the back, that was, it would blow my mind. They got all Z's instead of S's and K's instead of C's. And
that's not.
You don't fuck with it?
Hell no. Putting Z's after that sound like a Xbox gamer tag or something.
It was a different age. You couldn't have an S. You had to have a Z.
No.
Although in retrospect, some of the C and K stuff, I now understand that in a different way.
Oh, that's the only thing I will change okay. when I'm typing, though.
Right.
But that's it.
Definitely. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. How do you sort of see your career playing out from here? Like, what are you planning for your next move? You really working on a big project or EP or something?
Yeah, I'm working on my project right now. It's Rimble mixtape coming out very soon. Wait on it. I think that's gonna be a powerful tape, and I'm gonna just build from there. I got so much hot shit. I just gotta put it together right.
You got a ton of fire that's unreleased.
I wouldn't say like a ton, but like I can make it.
Yeah.
I can make it on.
If you were gonna put out a 10 song project,
I could do that right now.
How many songs you feel like you got enough right now that you'd be happy with it?
Yeah, hell yeah. I got bangers like. They're not ready.
Features? Anybody on it that we might not expect?
Shout out Lil Nine. Shout out Mozzie.
Mozzie's on there.
Yeah.
That's lit.
Shout out Draco. Shout out BA.
Okay.
We got a. Me and. That might be my favorite one.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. That's exciting. How often do you make a song that you're just like, nah, that ain't it? I'm not using that one.
All the time.
Yeah?
Yes. All the time.
That attention to detail?
I pay close. My gosh. If I don't punch in the bar right, I'll spend 45 minutes punching the bar.
Definitely. You smoke, drink?
I don't smoke or drink.
Really? Never did? Never been interested?
Nope.
What is it you think about that just doesn't appeal to you?
My dad just always told me not to smoke or drink.
And you just took his word for it? I know a lot of people have been through that and they end up doing it anyway.
I just took his word for it. I believe him. He smoked and drank before in his life, and he told me that it didn't go good for him. So he told me to stay away from drugs.
I mean, you could save yourself a whole lot of headaches and bullshit and everything.
Money.
I mean, money? Yeah. I mean, really, you do hear that from, like, older gangsters sometimes that are kind of like, what the fuck is wrong with this new generation where all these kids are fucked up all the time? It's like, if you're trying to be a real street dude or whatever, I mean, that's not really a safe bet to just be. Run around drugs, all fucked up all the time. You know, that's how you get caught up and whatnot.
It's not safe.
Not at all. Okay. You got a girlfriend?
No.
No, no. Like the fucking Grim Reaper right there. Oh, you have a wife?
Yeah.
For how long?
Shout out my girl.
How long you been with her?
I'm not really married, but I've been with her for like probably like a year.
Okay. Is it important to you?
Very important to me.
Definitely. How's she feel about seeing what's happening to you in terms of the success and shit?
She's just very supportive.
That's dope. Aspirations, shit that you want to do while you're in this game, or just things that you want to make sure that you accomplish, that you want to be known for?
I just want to be known for being me.
Respect.
I fuck with people that are true to themselves. I think people need to be more true to themselves. I'm gonna show that you can be true to yourself.
I saw you in one interview where you're saying that you'd like to be at the level that somebody like Roddy Ricch is at. When I look at Roddy Ricch's career, I see him as he's super talented, obviously, but he's going out of his way to make big records. Do you see yourself getting to that point where you will kind of get in the studio and be trying to land on a song that could be more of a big pop type hit?
I could do it all.
Really?
Yeah, okay, I'm versatile. I can adapt. I plan to do all types of music.
Definitely. Like what else? Do you listen to any music that we would be surprised by?
I am a very big fan of country music.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that's interesting. What do you like about it?
That's another thing that came from my big brother. Like my big brother started playing country music around the house, and at first me and my mom was like, turn this shit off.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't stop playing it, so after a while it grew on you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like lyrically that resonates with you, or is it mostly just the sound?
It's the vibe, it's the feel. It's like every country song that I listen to is just, they just live in peace. It sound peaceful, like.
Right.
It's a peaceful vibe.
It's weird because I heard some old country songs that I kind of enjoyed more, but it's usually like the stuff from like the 70s and stuff where they're just talking about shooting people and just being a piece of country? Shit, drinking, getting fucked up.
Drinking.
You know, all this kind of stuff. But when I listen to country now, it's like on the radio because my girl listens to country and so shit, like it sounds like a bunch of fucking Instagram captions of just like weird little cliche. It's like they're trying to like come up with memes in the song.
I don't agree.
You don't?
Not the country music I listen to.
You got to send me your playlist. 105.1.
Not go country.
Okay. I gotta open my mind to more country shit. You fuck with Lil Nas X?
You trying to baby C-Mac me? Fuck.
Free C-Mac. I don't even got to do C-Mac. I don't got to do none of his shit. I just got to do the... Yo, that shit is a modern day classic. Like you don't really know about LA if you haven't seen that interview. That's one of the most important interviews.
That's a classic for sure. Like, man, whoa, free him.
I was just thinking about how we need his ass out so we could just figure out. Like, I want to know what the last few months of his life in prison have been like. So bad, or jail, I guess.
Man.
I hope he's all right.
I hope he's all right too.
I hope nobody ever mean to him.
Free baby C-Mac.
I might have to pull up to the penitentiary. Stop fucking with my boy. I'm like, they'd be out on the yard. I'd be like, hey, leave him alone. No? B.A., we need to know some more about you. What do you want the world to know about you?
I'm coming up. Just know that.
Mm.
And he coming strong. Coming like, I'm strong. Talking about strong. Like, first song, he already up there. Like, nobody fucking with him neither.
For sure. Need that. All right. Appreciate you guys for coming in. I'm looking forward to more music. You were one of the few rappers I interviewed where I would actually like to hear some unreleased shit.
I would definitely play you some unreleased shit.
Sometimes people are like, you want to hear some unreleased shit? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm kind of thinking like, nah, not really. I'll just see it when you drop that shit. But I would like to hear some unreleased from you.
Fuck.
That's harsh. Now everybody's going to question if I'm being real or not when they say that to me. Fuck.
You just got to tell them no.
Right.
Yeah, like, if you
don't I'll hear it when it comes out. That's like,
that's some bleeder, like,
but nah, that's like if somebody out. like, all right, I don't want to know what I'm getting for my birthday a week before my birthday.
That's what I think too. But everybody wants the unreleased so bad. Like, I'd be like, just wait. Like, I'd be having to tell people, just wait. Like, you're not gonna be able to feel what everybody else feel when it drops.
Mm. And I've been through that too. Where like my favorite rap, like at one point, 2010, 2011, whatever, Young Thug's my favorite rapper. Or it was a little after that. It was like 2012, 13. But he's like my favorite rapper, and they leaked like 100 songs all at once. And I'm like, you know, I'm listening to it, but it's not mastered or mixed right. And it's like, I'm not hearing like the quality package that he wanted to put out. I'm just hearing all these random songs. Most of them probably never even came out. And that's when I first realized like, unreleased shit, it's a little overrated because yeah, I would rather see what he wanted to put out. You
exactly,
know?
And you're gonna feel what everybody else feel when it drop. Like it's gonna be a whole different like type of feeling. And whereas if you heard it already, you're gonna be like, I heard that already, and it's old to you already. So
I feel it. Ramble, appreciate Tremble. You, man. It's Ramble. No
That's
jumper.
Besides the point.
Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. We're eating some weed gummies after this. Well, I guess you're not. You want some?
Don't do drugs.
Let's go. Here we go. Appreciate y'all.